And now, it's your turn with Dave Mullarkey. 724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's your turn on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Mullarkey.
Coming up today on the Wednesday edition of It's Your Turn, we're going to be chatting with three more candidates who are running for school director in the Butler Area School District. That's coming up a little bit later on the program. We'll meet our first guest, Greg Garrett, in just a moment here. We'll be chatting with him via the telephone from Texas. One of our sponsors on the It's Your Turn program today, Schnorr's Greenhouse. Schnorr's Greenhouse, just off Herman Road, family-owned and operated since 1889. Wow, celebrating 130 years in business. That's amazing. Very friendly service, very knowledgeable staff. At Schnorr's Greenhouse, they specialize in annuals, gorgeous hanging baskets, vegetable plants, tremendous selection from which to choose. It's really, really big. Just about any flower or plant you can imagine, they're going to have it at Schnorr's Greenhouse. They have gift cards, too. Off Herman Road, look for Schnorr Road near the RC Men's Club. It's Butler's longtime trusted greenhouse, the place to grow since 1889. Hours, Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., Saturday, 8 to 5, Sunday, 11 to 5, Schnorr's Greenhouse. I think, listeners, coming up on this segment of It's Your Turn here on WISR, we have something interesting to talk about. It's a new book, and it's called In Conversation. Rowan Williams and Greg Garrett are the co-authors, and Greg Garrett is with us here by telephone to talk about this book. Greg, nice to meet you. Nice to have you with us for a few minutes here today.
Yeah. Likewise. It's great to be in Butler with you.
This a book, In Conversation, is this part of a series, Greg? Do you know?
Yeah, this is the second book in a series of conversations between thinkers and writers. And so it is part of this idea that we know each other and we understand each other well when we are willing to sit down and listen to each other and go kind of through this process of conversation, which is harder and harder in our culture these days.
Yes, the art of conversation seems to be disappearing in our modern society, does it not?
Oh, well, absolutely. It sort of feels like, to me, that we are dividing ourselves up into people who look like us or think like us or believe like us, and then we have some serious reservations about people on the other side of that equation. And one of the things that I love most about this book is that Rowan Williams is the past Archbishop of Canterbury. And when he and I first became friends, he lived in a palace in London. He was the spiritual leader of 80 million Christians around the world. And for my part, I was living in an efficiency apartment here in Austin. And there were so many surface differences between us, and yet when we got together and talked to each other, we discovered that there was so much more that we had in common than that we didn't, and that seemed to me like a really valuable object lesson.
How did you ever come to meet Rowan Williams, Greg Garrett?
Well, yeah, that's an interesting question. He is one of the preeminent intellectuals and writers in the Western world. And we first developed an acquaintance through the writing that we each had done. I've written 24 books or so, and he read one of my books in around 2006 and wrote a letter to my publisher. And there's still this sort of funny story about it. The publicist at the publisher said, "You got a letter from somebody in London in a palace named Williams. We didn't know whether to send it to you or just to throw it away." And I said, "Was it Rowan Williams?" And they said, "Well, yes. How did you know?" And I was like, "Well, Williams Palace, that seems to be a thing that makes sense to me." And so we made this connection through our writing first, and then over the years that followed, we began to meet and to have conversation, and that's largely what we do. I mean, we don't watch TV together. We don't go out to movies. We sit down and we have conversation for hours and hours and hours. And what I learned in the process was just this, the importance of listening, the importance of the process of conversation itself. And what I'm thinking about these days is the importance of big talk as opposed to small talk. Because so much of what we seem to do these days is just sort of surface informational as opposed to who we are and what we believe and what we care about.
Very interesting. A little bit more, just in case our listeners are not familiar with Rowan Williams and with Greg for that matter. Rowan Williams stood down as the Archbishop of Canterbury in 2012. Yes, he had been the leader of the Church of England and of the Anglican Communion worldwide. After that, he was appointed Chancellor, or he was actually appointed Master of Magdalen College at Cambridge, and then later Chancellor of the University of South Wales. Meanwhile, Greg Garrett, with whom we're speaking, the author of over 20 works, fiction, nonfiction, memoir, he is currently a professor of English at Baylor University. He is also a theologian in residence at the American Cathedral in Paris. Is that Paris, Texas, or Paris, France, Greg?
That is an excellent question. And both of those are wonderful places, but it is actually Paris, France. Wow. And I am off in less than a month to do my summer residency there, and it's been a really amazing relationship. It's lovely to be in Paris in the summer.
Well, you understand why I ask. I've never been to Texas, but I know there is a Paris, Texas, and that's why I thought...
There is a Paris, Texas. It's close to Dallas, and they have a tiny Eiffel Tower, but it's nothing like the real one.
Well, I'm sure our listeners would be interested in knowing about your conversations with Rowan Williams. And by the way, your book is structured just as... It's almost a transcript of conversations. You did it that way on purpose, I guess, huh?
Yeah. We met at his office in Cambridge last summer for 3 days, and we sort of laid out the idea that we're going to have these sort of seven structured conversations. And I've been telling people that in some ways it's like a greatest hits album, and I hope your listeners remember albums.
Yes.
But these are conversations that we have been having for the last 15 years. But because they're true conversations, they also opened up new ways of thinking for us and new understandings for us. And in the afterwards, the book, Rowan actually writes that there were a bunch of times during our conversations those 3 days where he was thinking to himself, I didn't know this until we started thinking about it. And so the conversations were really wide-ranging. You know, they are about faith, they're about politics, they're about culture, about literature, about writing, and they sort of take in all of the different passions that we have. And one of the closing conversations that we have is kind of directed by a dear friend that I have, Barbara Brown Taylor, the great writer, who often asks people, what is saving your life now? And that's a really good kind of prompting question. What are the things that matter so much to you that you can't stop talking about them?
And these are wide-ranging conversations, listeners. For example, I've got a review copy of the book in my hand right now. Conversation 2 covers such diverse topics as writing the novel, Charles Dickens, all the way to Doubting Thomas. Indeed, you cover a wide range there. Wow. Obviously, both of you are very interested in literature, eh?
Yes, Rowan is perhaps the world's leading theologian, which means he thinks a lot about God and religion and faith and practice, but he's also written a number of books about literature. He's a poet and a playwright himself, and one of the, I think, to my mind, leading authorities about Shakespeare, and whenever I come to see him, and I'll see him in about 6 weeks, he has just come from seeing a couple of productions of Shakespeare plays. And we come back over and over again to Shakespeare in these conversations because there's this very real sense that although Shakespeare is 500 years ago, he's also very much of the moment. And Shakespeare's thoughts about religion and about politics and about culture continue to kind of speak to us. And the beauty of the language and the greatness of the stories help us to kind of understand something about ourselves as well.
Indeed, one of your conversations has the topic, Why Shakespeare Matters, still today, 500 mm-hmm. years later. Listeners, we have a few more minutes to chat with Greg Garrett. Let us take a quick break here. We'll be back to pick up our conversation on It's Your Turn on WISR right after these words. The Young Funeral Home of Butler invites you to stop by their Jefferson Street location, downtown Butler, to talk about pre-arrangements. Not the easiest thing to do, but necessary, and the Young family will walk you through the process, making it very comfortable and really easy to take care of. You'll experience peace of mind knowing that your wishes and plans will be carried out to the last detail. Call the Young Funeral Home in Butler today to make an appointment with a member of the Young family. Generations of the Young family have been caring for generations of Butler families for well over 40 years. The Young Funeral Home, West Jefferson Street in Butler. Welcome back. If you're just joining us, I'm Dave Malarkey. We're chatting by telephone with Greg Garrett. He is a co-writer along with Rowan Williams of In Conversation with Rowan Williams and Greg Garrett. We left off the first portion of our conversation, Greg, talking about some of the things that you discuss with Rowan. One of them is good and bad Christian writing. Well, that's interesting. Do you name names there, Greg?
Well, no. Well, actually, yes. There is this very real sense that, you know, as we were talking about before the break, stories are essential to us because they help us understand who we are and what we're called to be. And for those of us who profess Christianity, there is this sense that Jesus is God in a human story, that we understand who God is and what God wants because we look at Jesus and the story of Jesus' life as a way of helping us to make sense of that. And when Rowan and I talked about good Christian writing, good Christian art, good Christian music, what we were hoping for was that these were stories that led us in the direction of all the universal human fears and doubt and wrestling. And what we discovered is that often that bad Christian art tries too hard to make things work. And the model that we looked at over and over again is the novelist Marilynne Robbins, who won the Pulitzer Prize for Gilead, which is this amazing novel about an Iowa pastor who has served a small church for all his life, and his father was a pastor before him, and his grandfather was a pastor before him. And it doesn't come to easy solutions. It wrestles with the kind of human dilemmas that we face, and it doesn't have this idea that everything can be solved by a simple kind of belief. And for many of us who are Christians, there is this understanding that although we believe and we love and we have this profound faith, that our faith doesn't solve all the problems of the world, that we still have to wrestle with the stories and the brokenness of the world and to sort of make sense of that. And so there is this sense of Christian art that simplifies and doesn't listen to the problems of the world, and things like Marilynne Robinson, and I hope some of my own writing, that that pays attention to the doubts and fears and still affirms belief as an essential part of who we are.
Why does Rowan Williams, your co-author, believe that story can be such a key to transformation? We're talking about story, whether it's a novel or a personal experience mm-hmm. or even a movie, right?
Right. And we are living in this age of amazing popular story. You know, Game of Thrones ends this Sunday night. The Avengers Endgame is one of the most popular, if not by the time this airs, the most popular movie in history. And one of the things that both Rowan and I believe is that stories are popular because they help us to engage in some way with who we are and where we come from. Story is the way that we engage with each other. You know, when you sit down at the table at the end of the day with the person you love, what you tell each other is stories. This is what happened to me today. This is what went wrong. This is what went right. And artfully told stories help us to understand ourselves and who we are. And for Rowan, who received much of his education at Oxford, there is this really strong connection to the people that we think of as the Oxford Christians, particularly C.S. Lewis and J.R.R. Tolkien, who had this idea that artfully told stories help us to connect with ourselves and with our faith. In a really well-told story, C.S. Lewis says, we were able to steal past the waking dragons of reason. And what he meant by that is that a really well-told story will help us to think less about the objections we have to who we are and what we're doing, and to pay close attention to the way that stories tell us who we are. And so that's why Shakespeare and Doctor Who and the novels of Marilynne Robinson and J.K. Rowling, the Harry Potter novels, and things like Game of Thrones and Endgame are so important, because they help us understand who we are.
You also talk in the book about archetypical myths in pop culture. You talk about contemporary issues that are controversial. Abortion is discussed, and that's certainly been in the news this week, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the interesting things that we talked about was this problem that we have in talking about faith and politics. And so the huge issue in Britain is connected to Brexit and to what they do with immigrants, and whether or not England is connected to the larger European continent. And here in the States, we're wrestling with issues of sexuality and abortion and things like that. And one of the really important things that came out of our conversation was the idea that often we allow our political orientation to shape us more than our religious orientation. And so that was an important realization that both of us had, that ultimately at the end of the day, whether we're Democrats or Republicans, whether we're liberal or conservative, it's more important to live into the faith beliefs that we have than to the political beliefs. Because the political beliefs are the ones that tend to divide us and to make us believe that it's impossible for us to have conversation.
Another topic that has generated great controversy recently is immigration. Here in the States, it's one thing. They're also talking about immigration in the United Kingdom as well. Do the two of you discuss that issue and perhaps the differences between the two countries?
Well, you know, there's a lot of similarity because there is a lot of fear around the idea, both in the UK and in the States, that if we allow a bunch of people to come from elsewhere, that it's going to change who we are, to change the composition of things, or it's going to change the possibility of opportunity for us. And so we talked a lot about some of the biblical and theological understandings of people who are not like us. And we mentioned earlier this concept that we live in our gated communities these days. And so it's, on the one hand, there is this fear that if we allow ourselves to open ourselves up to all of these people who are not exactly like us, what will that make us? But we talk a lot about the biblical conversations about welcoming the stranger. And so for Rowan and I both, that was a really important kind of recognition that, as uncomfortable as that conversation might be in our faith tradition as opposed to our political traditions, there is this very real recognition that we are called to welcome people who are not like us and to see our common humanity. And that might change some of the ways that we think about Brexit and the immigration crisis in the States, if we think about it less politically and more from our faith traditions.
Did I understand you correctly, Greg, that you said you're going to be meeting with Rowan again in the not-too-distant future?
Yes. I'm going to take up my residence in Paris in about a month, and then I've got a bunch of British media to do for this on In Conversation book. And so I'll be seeing Rowan at the beginning of July, and we'll spend a couple of days together. And we're doing a conversation with BBC Radio together while I'm over. And that's been one of the great delights of my life. Once or twice a year, we sit down and we spend 5 or 6 or 8 hours in conversation. And it's always one of the sort of shaping things for me, because I learn so much from him. And I hope that that there are things that he learns from me as well.
There'll be quite a few cups of coffee shared, I would think. Of course, this is in the UK. Cups of tea, I guess, shared, right?
Cups of tea, a cuppa. Exactly.
Well, folks, if you could imagine, if you could imagine being a fly on the wall while a couple of intellectual and spiritual heavyweights have a free-ranging discourse on a wide variety of issues, pop culture, writing, poetry, novels, bad preaching, bad sermons, then this book is for you. It's interesting. And by the way, this is a nice little read. It's not War and Peace. It's like, I don't know, 120 pages or something like that. But it's wonderful. And it's just, it's conversation back and forth. That's the way it's written. In Conversation, Rowan Williams and Greg Garrett. Is this available, by the way, Greg, in the usual places where we find books these days? Or do you have to order it from a special place? Or What's the deal?
Well, I am hoping that there is a wonderful independent bookstore in Butler or in Pittsburgh, but our friends at Amazon.com are always helpful. They're happy to sell you whatever you would like to buy. So, yeah, the book is available on the 16th, I think. And so I hope that you will take a look at it and enjoy it.
Yes, and this would be of interest. I don't care what Christian denomination you are, even if you're not Episcopal or Anglican, this is a fascinating book. Greg, I know you're busy. It was great to talk to you. This is a wonderful little book. I appreciate the conversation today.
Yeah, Dave, likewise. Thank you so much.
How would you describe driving and parking in Pittsburgh? Long, stressful? How about expensive? If you answered yes to any of these, then the Butler Transit Authority is here to help. With Comfy Coach buses equipped with free Wi-Fi and USB ports, commute to Pittsburgh stress-free and economically. With fares starting at just $3.87, not sure if it's for you? Try it out for free. BTA is offering 4 full weeks of transportation completely free the third week of May, June, July, and August. For more information, schedules, and park-and-ride locations, visit butlertransit.com.
Welcome back. We move into the next segment of our It's Your Turn program today, and we're going to be chatting for the next segment with three more candidates for school director in the Butler Area School District. And that'll wrap up our candidate chats for this particular office. So we welcome here in the studio to chat with us for the next few minutes, Mary Wagner, who is Mary, you're an incumbent, right? You're already sitting on the Butler School Board?
That's correct. I was appointed last May to fulfill a term of a member who resigned. So I've only been on the board a year now.
So you're running for a full 4-year term?
That's correct.
Well, tell our listeners a little bit about yourself. Who is Mary Wagner?
Well, thanks for having me here today, Dave.
Sure.
Grew up in western Pennsylvania, a little town called Oil City, about an hour north of here. Went to college at Juniata College in Huntington, graduated with a degree in English and communications, then went to school to get a teaching certificate in English. I was hired at Cambridge Springs Junior Senior High School, very fortunate to teach there 7th and 8th grade English. And I love teaching. Couldn't believe how fortunate I was to gather a paycheck from teaching a subject area I loved with being with kids all day.
Mm-hmm.
So then I went on to move to Connecticut and got a master's degree at University of St. Joseph in West Hartford in special education. Then I taught in Connecticut. My husband and I moved to back to western Pennsylvania to Butler in 1995, purchased a business here, and I also was hired to teach special education at the junior high school at that time.
What do you see, Mary Wagner, as the the biggest issue in your mind that a school director in the Butler Area School District will face over the next 4 years, which would be the term of office?
Well, certainly several come to mind right away, from our culture to safety, finances. But I really believe the biggest, because I'm kid-focused, anyone who's seen one of my signs would see I have a picture of kids on it. I think meeting the diverse needs of our population of 6,400 students is truly our biggest challenge as well as our biggest opportunity.
Needs, diverse need, you say?
Yes. We're actually the 25th largest district in Pennsylvania, something a lot of folks may not know. So that really puts us in the category of urban districts. Our kids have very diverse needs. So that would be something that I think we need to be looking at, academically rigorous course of study, but we also need to meet them where they are. If they have needs so basic as needing to make sure that they're eating breakfast when they arrive at school, we need to make sure that we take care of that. I'm also a parent of two students in Butler Area School District, a 17-year-old who attends the Butler Senior High School. She's a junior, and a sixth grader who attends the Butler Middle School. She's 12. And I think as a mom, you're just very familiar with the diverse needs that the children in school face.
Well, let me ask you about the middle school, and I've asked this of all of the school board candidates in Butler, because the middle school was a new concept for Butler a few years ago, and they had the consolidation, closed some elementaries, and the middle school is made up, I believe, of fifth and sixth graders now who previously would have gone to an elementary school. Are you pleased with this this reorganization? Do you think this is working well or no?
Well, I certainly had some concerns at the time of the consolidation, but one of my concerns was not best practices of having fifth and sixth graders in the same school. Mm-hmm. I think research would support that fifth and sixth graders do very well with the middle school concept. Certainly hard decisions ahead with the middle school in a district of our size, as well as the way the finances look and the amount of work that the middle school needs. There's some hard decisions ahead. I don't know what that's going to look like. But the one thing I have to say is, and I was hired to teach in the junior high in 1995, it's a special building. There's a lot of history there. But it's really not the building itself. It's the kids and the staff. Last evening, I went to the Empty Bowls event there, and there were dozens of community members enjoying their scoop of ice cream in a bowl that sixth graders had made, and that was a $5 donation rate to help folks in need of food in our community. But there were also a couple dozen staff members there. This was about 5 or 6:20 when I arrived last night. So it's really the teachers and the kids that make it special. So if something needs to happen with the middle school, that we need to have that in another building, I think it's okay, because it's really, as I said, the professional staff and the kids that make it special.
Mm-hmm. So you're okay with the concept, but still some questions about the building itself, which is the old junior high, before that the old senior high, the red brick building. It's my understanding that it would need quite a bit of an expense to bring it up to snuff, up to par.
I've seen figures around $20 million. So the building's over 100 years old. I think we need to be realistic that something may well need to happen there. You know, there's hard decisions. I think that's the one thing that I would want to share. The learning curve to be a school board member or school director is steep. So there's a lot of things that I didn't know a year ago that I know now. And I also know that it's hard to make decisions. You really want to take all factors into consideration. Inevitably, some folks are not going to be happy with the decisions that are made.
What about the now vacant Broad Street Elementary School? Do you have any thoughts on that, whether or not the district should sell it or keep it as a spare? Or what do you think?
Well, I believe that Dr. White and the administration has a plan that we will see over the next few months, which may possibly include something involving Broad Street. I think community schools are extremely important. Broad Street is in decent shape. It is also air conditioned. So I really think it's something that we need to look long and hard at. I couldn't support a sale of that school at present.
What about property taxes? The preliminary budget that was approved by the school board actually just this week, a couple of nights ago, includes a proposed $3 million tax hike. How did you vote on that, and what are your thoughts on that?
I voted to approve the budget as is, but I do think that there will be many, many discussions on budget over the next month or so. It doesn't mean that that is the final budget, but the one thing I would say is it did not include any furloughs. So that's a positive thing, and it is balanced. It's the second year in a row we've had a balanced budget. I think that we're moving in the right direction. The board has had many, many discussions over the last year about our financial responsibilities. This year, the budget's $102 million, but we have $130 million in outstanding debt, and we have over $40 million in interest of that debt. So we need to think long forward as we make decisions. And I would want our constituents and the public to know that what was voted on Monday night is not a done deal. Certainly, people are welcome to come to school board meetings to have their input at public to be heard.
Mm-hmm. Yes, school boards all across the state, as a matter of fact, are approving preliminary proposed budgets in May, but there's not a final vote until June. I guess that has to be done before June 30th, and the state budget supposedly will be done by then, although sometimes it's not. Actually, that makes it a little tough for school districts because you have to kind of guess what state appropriations are going to be.
Absolutely. And the other thing I would want to say is, you know, we're all able to contact our state legislators about school budget and school needs. So it is so important that we are all advocates for, you know, our kids. That's just incredibly important, not just our kids, but our grandkids and kids in the community, because we really want to see Butler be a vibrant community for years to come. So if we need to spend money now, we need to do it because there's going to be a shortfall of about 80,000 jobs over the next decade in southwestern Pennsylvania. So I want my kids, the community as a whole, to be able to stay here in Butler.
The Butler School District just went to a full-day kindergarten, I believe, this year. And they had half-day kindergarten prior to that. Any thoughts on full-day kindergarten, good, bad?
Tremendously wonderful. Home run, slam dunk, any research that one looks at would support a full-day kindergarten. Long overdue. I think that one of our goals is that kids are all competent readers by third grade. And having them in a full-day kindergarten with individualized, direct instruction is going to move kids towards that direction. So it's great.
Mm-hmm. What about school security? Do you have any thoughts on that? The society, unfortunately, in which we live these days, well, you know, we don't have to tell people, look at the headlines. It's tragic, but your thoughts on school security within the Butler Area School District?
Well, I think Butler has been forward thinking. I worked at the Butler Junior High School under Vince Burke and Jim Allen. We had metal detectors there 20 years ago. So I think Butler has been forward thinking. I'm very pleased that the Butler School District Police are all retired state troopers, do a wonderful professional job. I think that the initiatives of, for instance, having our own police force at school is great. And I think that we are continuing to look at all the time on how we might have grant funding for things like radios. And I think that the secure entrance at the senior high is going to be a real step in the right direction.
Final thoughts as our time runs short here, Mary Wagner. We're chatting with Mary Wagner, one of the candidates seeking re-election to the Butler Area School Board. Any final thoughts on why you think people should consider voting for you next week?
Well, I think I'm a positive and thoughtful voice for our community and for kids. And I also feel that there's a really great vision ahead for Butler. We, as large as our district is, as I shared, 25th largest in PA and 6,400 students, we should be a model and a leader of public education in southwestern Pennsylvania. We're headed that direction. So I hope to be elected to the board to continue with that positive momentum.
Mary Wagner, candidate for school director in the Butler Area School District. Nice to have you here today, Mary.
Oh, thank you so much, Dave. I appreciate it.
Sure. We have more school board candidates to chat with. We'll take a break. We'll be back and meet our next guest here on the Wednesday, beautiful Wednesday edition of It's Your Turn on WISR, back in just a couple of moments. Hi, this is Dave Malarkey. I'd like to talk to you for just a moment here about the good folks at the Society of St. Vincent de Paul here at Butler. What a great job they do to help those who are less fortunate in many ways. They operate the St. Vincent de Paul Food Bank, of course. They have their St. Vincent de Paul thrift store in the Greater Butler Mart and their client aid program. And the client aid program helps needy families or individuals, you know, maybe with help on a heating bill or a rent payment at the end of the month, client aid. And that's funded through the operation of the thrift store. So you can help by donating items that you no longer need or want to the thrift store. It's very easy to do. Drop-off bins are right inside the door. You can use the container outside. They're located in the Greater Butler Mart. So think about it next time you're cleaning the closet or the upstairs. Instead of throwing that stuff away, why not donate it to the Society of St. Vincent de Paul here in Butler? We stand tallest when we stoop to help others.
I'm Attorney Wink Robinson. I respectfully request your vote on May 21st for judge in the Butler County Court of Common Pleas. My name will appear on both the Democratic and Republican ballots. A judge must serve independent from outside influences. I have refused all contributions to my campaign. I have 30 years of legal experience. Butler County citizens are hardworking. I will work hard as your next judge. Experience in the law, respect for others, and fairness all matter. Paid for by William Wink Robinson.
Welcome back. Our next candidate for school director in the Butler Area School District with us here in the studio is Nina Teff. Nina, nice to have you here today.
Thanks for having me. It's very nice to put a face to the voice.
Well, that's what we
heard
do.
Your voice a lot.
And that's our purpose here. Obviously, we're not endorsing candidates, but we want to give people a chance to make, you know, a more informed decision instead of just looking at a name and saying, I don't know
who that is. Yeah. Yes.
Well, tell our listeners a little bit about you. Who is Nina Teff?
Okay, so I moved to the Butler area about 8.5 years ago. I'm actually from out of state, so I'm originally from New Orleans, Louisiana, a suburb of there. Went to college in Colorado, got a degree in petroleum engineering with a minor in economics. And then I actually worked for about 16 years with Shell Exploration and Production Company. And I worked out of New Orleans, Louisiana, Houston, Texas. And then that job actually moved us up here, and we were working out of Cranberry and Sewickley. And so when we moved up and we're looking for a place to buy, we kind of wanted to live out in the country a little bit. My daughter rides horses, so we wanted a farm, and that brought us to Meridian. So that's how we got here.
And you are an incumbent, right? You're already a
I am an incumbent, member. Yes. I ran 4 years ago. I've been serving as the president of the board for the last 3.5 years.
What do you see as the biggest issues that would face a school director in the Butler Area School District in the coming 4 years?
Yeah, so I think probably our biggest issue is really bringing forward the vision that we've set so far over the last couple of years. We've really spent some time to actually look at long-term planning financially. In the past, it had kind of been a year-on-year financial forecast. And unfortunately, what that put us in the position of is we didn't have funds available to take care of our buildings. From an educational perspective, we also kind of looked at things on a year-on-year basis. And so now we've actually taken the time, provided a mission, a vision, some beliefs. It's very student-focused. And we're trying to figure out how do we responsibly use the funds that we have? How do we also get additional funding through grants for specific programs? And how do we truly make the education the best that it can be for the kids, all while collaborating with the community and the staff?
So you want the board to be able to bring this plan to fruition.
To fruition, yeah. Yeah, and really a big change that I kind of wanted 4 years ago when I ran was I actually just looked at my website recently because I was changing the website for the new election, and so I dug up my old content. And the big three things that I had was vision and strategic planning, educational improvement, and financial considerations or concerns that we had. And so now I feel like we've gotten a handle around most of those. We've kind of chartered a new course. We're thinking long term about, do we put money away? Do we borrow money? We're having very specific conversations about those. We're weighing the options. We're trying not to have our hands tied or future boards' hands tied by the decisions that we're making. So I think we're on the right path, and I think we're very student-focused, and I think it's going to be exciting to see what we can provide the kids in the future.
When you ran 4 years ago, it would have been around the time of the big consolidation plan in the Butler
yes.
District because the student population had fallen rather precipitously.
Yes.
And some elementary schools had to be closed.
Yes.
do you think the consolidation worked out okay? Are you happy with that? Or
that's funny you asked me that. So I'll be completely frank. I think there's some things. Let me talk about the good, and then I'll talk about the bad. So the good news is when we did the consolidation, we proved that a middle school concept works in Butler. The middle school concept is not new. Lots of other places have done it in the past. So it's not surprising that it would work. But what we really found was through teacher collaboration, we can really make strides with the kids and their learning. And so that's been really good. So the staff in that building, principals, teaching staff, support staff, everyone really has made that work for the children. And I think that's very positive. I also think the opening of Center Avenue has also had some very positive outcomes for students. A lot of our at-risk kids are there. They're at risk for dropping out. We just heard at our board meeting Monday from one of those students who said without that school, she would have dropped out, and now she's graduating this year. So that's really nice to see. So now I'll give you the bad news part. The bad news is when that process was going on at the time, there was a lack of transparency around the condition of the junior high building, which is the current middle school. And because of that lack of transparency, we are now revisiting what do we do with our buildings, because just about a year and a half ago, we did not have a capital fund that was big enough to allow us to pave and fix roofs. And it's really unfair to have trash cans around catching water from a leaky roof. We shouldn't be having that in our buildings. So we wanted to look at getting a loan, and we needed to figure out how much money we wanted for that loan for a bond so that we could actually make those capital improvements. And when we did that, we had our maintenance staff and an architect go around and look at all of the buildings to validate which projects should we work on, which are the highest priority that we really need to get after. And then we could decide, okay, how much money do we want to borrow? When we did that process, that's when the middle school or the old senior high came up with a lot of red flags. And I'll be honest with you, I was incredibly frustrated. They actually took us through as a board and walked us through some of the buildings so we could see some of the issues. And as a community mayor, I was very frustrated because I felt like, why was this not known 4 years ago when we were having this discussion? And why was it not transparently talked about? But I can't change what happened then. I can change what we know now. So now we're looking at it with open eyes. We're trying to be very transparent with the staff, parents, community. And we just need to look at our options and make decisions with everyone's eyes open around, should we maintain that building and spend $17 to $20 million, or should we look at other configurations and what would those cost?
I ask school board candidates the same questions to be equitable and to be fair.
Yes.
And I've always asked about what people think about the Broad Street element, former Broad Street Elementary. It's vacant now, although it was used on an emergency basis
for
Summit School. What do you think the district should do? I mean, this is a big elementary school.
It is, it's a big deal. It's actually a fantastic building. I had never been through the whole building until we were getting ready to move the kids for the Summit thing, and I went to check it out before we moved all the kids over there. It's a phenomenal building. It has air conditioning. I was really surprised we actually, after seeing all of it, that it was actually decided to sell it. Right now, I think it makes sense for us to hold on to it until we figure out what we want to do. In many of the scenarios, if the middle school building does not stay, then you would have to open Broad Street in order to fit the children that you need. We also should have a conversation, depending on if the middle school stays or doesn't stay. Center Township Elementary School is incredibly packed with students. And when we initially, or not we, when the previous board initially did the consolidation, we didn't really redistrict the lines and redraw the lines. We kind of took everybody from Oakland goes to CT. The majority of people from Broad Street went to CT. That puts a heavy load on that building. So we do need to, at some point in time, have a conversation about redistricting. If we're reconfiguring, we would do all of that at one time. But if we're not reconfiguring, we also need to have that discussion. And so in that discussion, Broad Street will come up around whether we want to reopen it or not.
Full-day kindergarten was instituted in the Butler District in this current school year, first year for it,
first
I believe,
year for
right?
it, yes. Yeah.
Went well, good choice?
Yeah, so far I've heard good things. I tried to reach out to parents and also some of the teachers, especially the teachers that are teaching kindergarten. So far I've heard very good things. I personally think it was a great move. I actually had a daughter that went to full-day kindergarten before we moved here, and then my other two children have gone through half-day kindergarten. They've all done well in either scenario, but it's tough to prepare kids for a full-day first grade if they're really only in school for 2.5 hours. And some of our kids have not been to preschool before, and you have a really variable experience base of the kids. And for some kids who maybe haven't already started reading or learned how to write their name, it's very hard to get them up to speed with only 2.5 hours of school. So I think it's a great thing to prepare the kids.
Final issue to get your thoughts on, and that was the preliminary proposed budget that was approved by the Butler School Board earlier this week, Monday night. It calls for a $3 million increase in property taxes. Your thoughts on that?
Yes, so I did approve the proposed budget, which was Monday night. Right now, it's proposed, so we still have a month to weigh some of the options, make some other decisions, potentially continue with that recommendation or change that recommendation to a lower millage. The biggest piece for me, and I know our taxes get raised just like everybody else's taxes get raised, and nobody wants to raise taxes. The tough thing is when state mandates increase, but the funding does not increase from the state, your hands are a bit tied and your expenses go up. So all districts in the area are fighting that, not just us. The other piece with this budget is we have some very strategic investments that we're making that are tied to that strategic plan. So we've got educational improvements, we have curriculum changes, we have instructional coaches, and then we've also got some things around social emotional needs of our kids. And so we're talking about bringing in therapists. The middle school needs an additional guidance counselor. It's a large school with 1,000 kids. It only has one counselor there. So we're trying to identify places where we really think we'll get the most bang for the buck. And we're also, you know, like with any budget like you do at home, you try to cut your expenses and you try to invest wisely and invest for the future.
Final thoughts, or the time we have available goes so quickly, but
it does.
Final thoughts on if potential voters are still undecided, what do you think they should consider voting for you? This is Nina Teff running for Butler Area School Board.
So one piece, I think I'd like to continue to work hard. I actually put a lot of time and energy into understanding what's going on in the district and trying to thoughtfully analyze things. I'm a very detail-oriented person, very analytical, probably because of my engineering background. And so I think I bring skills to the table that can help. I'd like to continue to help do that. And I'm also I'm accessible. Oftentimes, you know, when I'm at my kids' practices or other activities, I'll often talk about district things so that I can gain perspective, or people will ask me questions, and I welcome that. I don't mind at all us, you know, having conversations, whether it's with staff or parents, because it helps me gain perspective, and then I can make better decisions.
Nina Teff, running for re-election to the Butler Area School Board. Thank you, Nina. Thanks for stopping
in. Thank you for having me. Nice to meet you.
We have one more school board candidate to chat with, and we will do that in just a couple of moments. So stick with us for more here on the Wednesday edition of It's Your Turn on WISR. Be right back.
Do you have missing teeth or wear dentures? You may have heard of or are considering dental implants. Hi, this is Dr. Bob Todd of Butler Smiles Dental Care. There are many options available with dental implants, and making the right choice can be confusing. I have been placing dental implants since 2004, both full-size traditional implants and small diameter or mini dental implants. There are indications for both, but more and more we are using mini dental implants in a variety of innovative ways. They are easier to place, causing less discomfort, are less costly, and can frequently be used immediately after placement, allowing you to get back to eating the foods you like or smiling again right away. Traditional implants typically have a 4-month healing time before they can be used. I invite you to call our office at 282-7774 to schedule a free consultation to see if mini dental implants are the right solution for your dental problems, or visit us on the web at butlersmiles.com.
In today's fast-paced world, our lives get a whole lot easier when we trust experts. We trust people who know what they're doing. And when it comes to shipping, I trust Going Postal Butler. They're right off Newcastle Road on Shockey Lane, right behind King's and Villa Grande restaurants. It's easy, too. I just cruise on back, go say hello to the friendly folks inside, and they package my items for shipping. And that saves me a whole lot of time. I'm trying to wrap my item, trying to find the right size box or the bubble wrap or the mailing labels. With Going Postal Butler, I know they provide quality service. They've got great prices. Most importantly, they are trustworthy. So I know that my package will go where I need it to go. That's Going Postal Butler, 140 Shockey Lane in the Shockey Mini Storage Complex. Your friendly neighborhood shipping store, Going Postal Butler. Welcome back. Our final candidate for Butler Area School Board visiting with us here in the studio now, and that's Jennifer Daniels-Wells. Jennifer, nice to meet you. Nice to have you here today.
Hi. Thank you for this opportunity.
For listeners who do not know who you are, tell them a little bit about yourself, Jennifer.
Okay. So I was raised in Meridian by both my parents who worked very hard and instilled a work ethic in me that I would classify as, an excellent work ethic. And I went to Butler High School. I graduated in 1996, and I went on to study my undergrad at Slippery Rock University, and then I got my master's degree at Geneva College. And I am married to my husband, John, who is a registered nurse at Butler Health System. We've been married for 16 years this September, and we have two children. Blake is my fifth grader, and he attends the middle school. And my daughter, Shay, is a third grader at Center Township.
Mm-hmm. I try to ask the same questions of all of our school board candidates, and one of them is, what do you see as the major issues that will face school directors in the Butler Area School District over the coming 4 years?
Mm-hmm. That's a good question. I have the unique position currently to work with a lot of individuals in the community. And so I've been in a lot of schools in the Butler School District and also within Butler County. And one of the issues that I hear more and more is that parents are concerned about anti-bullying and the anti-bullying programs that our schools have throughout the district. And some of the issues that I'm hearing directly from families is that they're choosing to do cyber school as opposed to having their kiddos stay in the brick and mortar school. And that's really younger children in the elementary grades as well as, the upper grades. So I see that as being, an issue that is probably a newer issue, and then also one that I think that we're going to be facing more and more within the next 4 years.
Do you think it's more valuable for kids to be in a brick-and-mortar school with socialization issues that they might not have at a cyber school?
Mm-hmm. Sure. I mean, I think that every parent knows their child best, and I think that there are definitely some instances where children would benefit more from a cyber type of school. However, I still am kind of the old school mindset where children need the socialization, they need the programs, they need to, problem solve. And I think that really you can only get that, type of thing, a full education like that, when you are attending a brick and mortar school.
It's kind of related to the bullying issue, and that's school security these days.
Mm-hmm.
It's a sad commentary on our society that we have to worry so much mm-hmm. about this, but gosh, it's in the headlines, week after week after week.
Mm-hmm.
Are you satisfied with the school security measures that have been taken here in Butler? And if not, what additional measures do you think might be needed?
Sure. I actually am very satisfied with the security at the schools. Like I said, I've been in many other schools throughout the county, and there are still some schools around that don't have any type of security at the front when you're entering a school. And at all of the schools that I have walked in as a, throughout my professional position that I have, I am greeted by some type of security person asking for my ID, asking for my badge, and so I am very impressed with the thoughtfulness that went into providing all of the schools with retired state troopers. So I'm satisfied. I'm comfortable as a parent as well with my children attending the schools.
You said, I believe, that you have a child in middle school.
Yes.
Are you satisfied with that concept? That was a bit controversial whenever Butler initiated a middle school concept, taking the fifth and sixth graders out of their mm-hmm. elementary schools and putting them all from the entire district into a middle school. Mm-hmm. Are you satisfied with that? With the way that worked out?
I am sad. Well, My son absolutely loves the middle school. He's doing well. He likes the idea of the academic teams. So I think there are aspects that, as a parent, I do see as a positive. He is around more students. The academic teams have approximately around 70 or so students per team, and he's doing well in that atmosphere. However, I do have concerns with the fact that the school is as old as it is.
The building itself.
Yes, the building is pretty old. And I know that there are a lot of issues with that. And in order for the school to remain open, there's going to have to be a lot of money spent to renovate, the building so that it can continue to house students. As far as the teaching is concerned, I think that the teachers have adapted very well and are doing a great job with the, working together as a team. I think that the students, have, they've adapted to that, style of learning, well too. But, my concerns moving forward, is the age of that actual building.
What about the, Broad Street Elementary School? It's vacant right now and has been vacant, for a few years, other than the emergency use by the Summit kids whenever they had the water problem there. Do you think the district should hang on to Broad Street Elementary or attempt to sell it, or do you have any thoughts on that?
I do. It's sad to me that there is an empty school sitting right downtown where there are kids that, are having truancy issues, whereas though I think that if that school were open, we would maybe see some, students that are able to make it to school. I know that, in speaking with folks that are in that community right around there, they were very sad to see it close. It's a beautiful school. It's an air-conditioned school. It's a large school. I think that to let it sit vacant is kind of a disservice to our community. I would love to see it open its doors. I don't want the district to sell that school. I think that it can be used, for to serve a very important purpose, whether that be moving the middle school, whatever the decisions are that the board's looking at with regards to what to do with the fifth and sixth graders, whether it's moving them back to having elementary, go up to fifth grade, or making it an elementary school. I think that it would serve the community well to open that back up.
We're talking with Jennifer Daniels Wells. She is a candidate for school board, school director in the Butler Area School District. I want to get your thoughts on taxes. The current school board just this week approved a preliminary budget. It's not the final vote, but the preliminary budget that calls for a 3-mil tax hike for property owners in the Butler Area School District. Do you have any thoughts on that?
I do have thoughts. Everybody does. Taxes are something that, everybody has to consider. And you're going to make, people upset with a raise in the taxes. So if I'm looking at it as a parent with kids in the school district, I want my kids, and they're young, so we have, many years here ahead of us. I want my kids to be able to benefit from programs that an increase in taxes would allow them to benefit from. As a taxpayer, I certainly don't want to pay a higher tax rate. I feel as though in order for me to make an informed decision, I really would want to hear exactly the thoughts that are discussed at the board meetings. So I can't say right now if I would vote for the tax increase or if I would not. But I do see it, in different ways as a parent, as a taxpayer, and as a hopeful candidate, moving hopefully onto the board.
Well, I always wrap up our candidate chats by giving individuals a chance to, take a minute or so or whatever to just kind of recap and to tell voters who are still making up their minds why you think they ought to consider voting for you, Jennifer Daniels Wells.
Thank you. To recap my three main issues that I really would love to see the school board adopt is trauma-informed care, for teachers and for staff. And essentially what trauma-informed care is it's similar to the idea of universal precautions with regards to healthcare. So trauma-informed care is really having everybody kind of look at a student as though they've had some sort of trauma in their lives. You know, working in the position that I do, I see that there are a lot of folks that families, children, grandparents raising, you know, their grandchildren, and there are a lot of folks that do struggle with this. So that would be a very something that's very important to me is allowing teachers to have that tool that they could use in their classrooms. Again, the anti-bullying program, I think that we have some work to do with that, and I think that I could help bring some ideas with the district in, as to what they could do to kind of up the ante with their programs. And then also, I would love to see parents really kind of consider why they are making the choice to have their kids move to cyber school. And I would love to be a voice for families and for children in the community and take back their concerns to the board. I've dedicated most of my career, if not all of my career, to working with, you know, in the community and working with, you know, kids and adults. So.
She is Jennifer Daniels-Wells, candidate for Butler Area School District School Director, School Board here in Butler. Thank you, Jennifer. Nice to meet you. Nice to have you here today.
You too. Thank you.
That wraps up our candidate chats for today and our program. A reminder, we have Pirate Baseball, and it's coming up soon. The Pirates play an afternoon game today out in Phoenix. We'll be on there at 3:15 with Pirate Warm-Up today. I'm Dave Malarkey. Hope to see you tomorrow at 12:30 for the Thursday It's Your Turn program.
Thanks for joining us for today's edition of It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey here on WISR 680 AM. Today's broadcast is also archived for you online at WISR680.com. Tune in again next time for Dave Malarkey's It's Your Turn, weekdays from 12:30 to 1:30, right here on WISR 680.